Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is a book review of Eric Erickson's and Bill Blankenshain's new book, You Will Be Made to Care: The War on Faith, Family, and Your Freedom to Believe. In preparation for the release of this book, there is quite a bit of promotion. Erickson gave out advanced copies of this book to many evangelical leaders, asking them to be spokespersons for the book. A number of special conferences have been planned to promote this book in the Christian community. And here in New Jersey, the Garden State Family Policy Council is planning to have either Eric or Bill come up on the 6th of June to do a mini-conference. Eric Erickson is a solid Christian political pundit. Plenty of conservative pundits are Christian-y, but Erickson identifies himself as a true born-again Christian, and he works biblical teachings into his commentaries. He's actually been taking seminary classes at Reformed Theological Seminary in Atlanta. And I remember him announcing that he would be doing this because he didn't feel he knew the Bible well enough. And I have to give him credit because so many political pundits think they know it all and there is nothing more to be learned from Bible study. They don't know what they don't know. Now, for a while, Erickson was with the organization called Red State, recently purchased by Salem Communication. But he recently left to create his own group called Resurgent. Erickson does a radio show based in Atlanta, Georgia. And along with a small staff, he puts out a daily political editorial. You can sign up to have this editorial sent to you every day at theresurgent.com. Also, you may have heard Erickson filling in for Rush Limbaugh on occasion. Now, last month, Erickson had been hospitalized with blood clots throughout his lungs. This is a very serious condition, and as of now, I believe he's recuperating. Pray for his recovery. He's 40 years old. He has two children, a girl age 9, a boy age 5. I believe his wife, Christy, also struggles with some health issues. And this reminds me of something a professor once told me. Most of the things that get done in the world are done by those who don't feel very well. God uses us in our weakness. And through our weakness, His strength is made perfect. 2 Corinthians 12:9. So let me begin by giving you a brief overview of Erickson's book, You Will Be Made to Care. The title reminds me of that famous quote from the 4th century BC Greek statesman Pericles, who said, "Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you." But I didn't find that quote in the book. The book is almost exclusively about the persecution of Christians and Christian beliefs and practices by the LGBT movement, since that's the main conflict in our day. He begins with a lengthy explanation of the outrageous case of Kelvin Cochran, who was fired from being the chief of Atlanta's fire department because he wrote a Christian book that mentions homosexuality is a sin. Cochran was not only fired, he was sent to sensitivity training. Just a decade or two ago, if you were a homosexual, you were sent for counseling. But now the person who holds to the Christian position is sent for re-education. Then Erickson reviews some of the other cases, such as the Huguenots, Catholic Charities, Sweet Cakes by Melissa, Jack Phillips and the Masterpiece Cake Shop, Baronelli Stutzman, the florist, the Jonah case, the Ocean Grove Camp Association case, O'Reilly and the Vermont Wildflower Inn case, the Angela McCaskill case. But Erickson doesn't just tell us the news. He delves into explaining to the reader what is going on ideologically with the LGBT agenda. That it's not about equality or marriage, but a drive to normalize homosexual behavior, to have it taught in public schools, to persecute and suppress Christians and Christian beliefs. Erickson quotes David French, "The battle is not between gay rights and religious liberty, but between the sexual revolution and Christianity itself." And a good point that Erickson brings out is that there is a naivety in America concerning the LGBT agenda. Quote, "Many well-intentioned Americans, even people of faith, have bought into the language of equality and compassion. They refuse to believe that there may be another agenda for sexual progressives intent on forcing their religion on the rest of us." Unquote. And this is an important point. Most people have fallen for the propaganda that the LGBT movement is just about two people loving each other and about human rights, when in fact, this is an Antichrist remaking of America. No different than the French Revolution, which sought to stomp out Christianity. Another good point Erickson makes is that one of the errors that Christian people are making is in believing, quote, that this conflict is one that Christians can just get out of by out-nicing people. That's what a lot of folks and a lot of churches think. We can just keep smiling, keep being as nice as possible, keep our heads down, don't speak out of turn, and we'll be okay. And then Erickson explains how this will not work. Case in point, Pastor Louis Giglio. This pastor was accommodating and fair, and yet because he said something in the past in favor of traditional marriage, he was disinvited from the Obama inauguration. Erickson writes, "People want to find a middle ground, but there will be no middle ground." Now, throughout this book, there are great quotes. If you're a Bible teacher, you should buy the book just to get the quotes. Get yourself a highlighter and mark off all the quotes for future reference. Let me give you some. Kevin DeYoung: "We should consider ourselves blessed to live in a time when being a Christian actually gets to mean something. And we as individual believers have an opportunity in the midst of this cultural shift." Pastor David McNeely: "Hope is in the person of Jesus Christ, not in outcomes." And this quote: "Our cultural's definition of love has become unconditional affirmation. You don't love me if you don't affirm all of my choices." Here's a quote from Russell Moore: "What I often tell the churches is that I have two jobs. One job is to keep you out of jail. The other job is to make you willing to go to jail. Because there's one thing worse than going to jail for your faith. And that's having a faith that's too safe for jail." Here's another quote: "America is not post-Christian. America is at best pre-Christian." And the famous quote from Andrew Breitbart: "Politics is downstream from culture." On page 17, Erickson says, "The world needs to see Christians burning not with self-righteousness, but with a passion for God." A quote from Augustine: "Right is right even if no one's doing it. Wrong is wrong even if everyone's doing it." Charles Chaput: "Evil talks about tolerance only when it's weak." And the Roman historian Tacitus: "Christians were accused of being hostis humani generis, enemies of the human race." David Gushy: "The conservative Christian religion is the last bulwark against full acceptance of LGBT. Erickson writes, "The accommodating of evil never achieves the desired end. It only increases the inevitable cost of victory." And liberalism is by nature coercive because it's built upon a system of anthropological falsehoods. And for falsehoods to be taught and to gain acceptance in popular culture, they have to be mandated. And C.S. Lewis, tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. Those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their conscience. And Edmund Burke, when bad men combine, good men must associate. So, the first 14 chapters explain the LGBT agenda, how to react to it. But the last 6 chapters, part 3, are entitled How to Win the War. And the means is this concept of resurgence, the name of Eric Erickson's website. And it means a group of conservatives and faith-filled people united against the forces on the left. Not a time to check out, but a time to surge forward with new vigor. Resurgence is a reinvigorated faith in God. And then Erickson has a chapter for each area that needs resurgence. Chapter 15, the resurgent community. Chapter 16, the resurgent believer. Chapter 17, the resurgent family. Chapter 18, the resurgent church. Chapter 19, the resurgent citizen. In the chapter about the resurgent community, Erickson emphasizes the fact that we need to surround ourselves with people who share our worldview. The left wants to pick us off one at a time, but there's strength and encouragement in numbers. Don't be made to feel alone. In chapter 16, the resurgent believer, know what you believe, discover how your faith applies to the cultural issues, live what you believe, express what you believe. Unfortunately, this chapter assumes people will know where to get true beliefs. But that should not be assumed. We actually need more Christian books that explain the truth of God's revelation. Chapter 17, the resurgent family. The Christian should model to the culture a faithful marriage and proper child rearing. The chapter about the resurgent church covers how pastors have contributed to the decline. How the church in America compromised the message to fill the pews. The resurgent citizen, chapter 19, addresses the need for political action. Erickson has some great thoughts about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the conclusion, the last chapter, is entitled You're Not Alone. Be willing to stand and suffer for the faith. We have won. Christ conquered death and reigned supreme. He will return to judge the living and the dead. And we should live out our lives knowing that victory is assured. The closing sentence in the book is, remember that the world wants you to feel isolated. But you're not alone and never will be. Never forget it. I recommend this book for anyone who wants to get an update on what's going on in the culture. If you keep up with all the articles from the conservative pundits and think tanks, then this book is only going to rehash what you already know. But for most folks, this book is a good update and synopsis of the current issues. And it's good to see it all written down in one place. And I'm glad for books like this. We need hundreds more. Now, it's not as if there's anything wrong with this book, but I would now like to explain the book's deficiencies. How one is left empty after reading 300 pages. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm shooting one of our own. I have to give an honest assessment based upon what God has taught me through the years. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. And I'm sure Eric Erickson himself would rather be helped by criticism than ruined by praise. What is missing in the book is the theological underpinnings of our cause. There is no call for a nation under Christ. Instead, there's the usual call for freedom of religion, constitutional rights, but that is not enough, and that will not change our nation. For example, if you could convince a state legislature that euthanasia, abortion, gender bending, even LGBT, is morally wrong. In our current ethical environment, that would do almost nothing to stop the legalization of those practices. Because the legislators would simply say, that is your truth, and this may even be our truth, but we must let other people have their own truth. Even if you were to convince a state legislature that 96% of the people were opposed to a certain policy, the current ethical belief is that we still must give the 4% their moral choice. Abortion was not legalized in the 1970s because 51% of the people believed that abortion was right. It was passed because those who were opposed to abortion did not believe their views should be imposed on others. They believed in moral democracy and pluralism. And the way the left has overturned moral laws in America is not by proving that their positions are morally correct. They have won because they have convinced the public that democracy means moral pluralism. People should be allowed to do what is right in their own eyes. And that's freedom of conscience. That's freedom of religion. That supposedly is Americanism. And it's the lie of the secular state that has overthrown the moral law in America. And the only way to turn it back is to teach and call for a return to the belief that every country must declare itself under Christ, Christian. Otherwise, there's no basis for morals. And this is the belief that was held to by every nation in Europe throughout the Reformation. But along comes many conservative activists who are trying to turn back the immorality in America by simply seeking to convince people certain practices are right and wrong. Where they're trying to save Christianity in America simply by talking about religious freedom. And they wonder why they're losing ground. Now, more thoughtful Christians, come along and explain. Your problem is that you're not laying the axe to the root. You're not going far enough by calling the nation to embrace the law of God as the law of the land. You're being deceived by the secularists who are saying that a theocracy is un-American. But every nation is a theocracy. Every nation chooses a religion. It's either secular humanism or Christianity, but there's no such thing as both. And every nation must begin with a social contract concerning which law they choose to be under. Those who want Christ form a Christian nation. Those who want secularism form a secular nation. The statesmen, the philosophers, the theologians in colonial America chose the Christian nation and understood that a nation must state in her documents the foundation for law. And our forefathers preached Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. What Christian activists in America are missing today is that they fail to call for the kingdom of Christ over the nations. There is no mention of this biblical goal of Christ's authority, only the goal of freedom and pluralism. Now, the response you're going to get from Christian activists is always, we can't speak about America becoming a Christian nation, because that will never sell with legislators, nor with the public, nor even in the churches. Besides, we don't really need to have a Christian nation. All we want is to have freedom for Christians. All we want is to be able to live out our moral convictions and be protected from having to submit to the sodomites. Well, my response is this. Pluralism and the myth of neutrality will not work. If Christians do not take up the cause that a nation must be Christian, then they will never be able to change America. The morals of the nation will only get worse and worse. Because until the leadership in America accepts the doctrine that all people must submit to the law of God revealed in nature and in written revelation, they'll never be convinced to stop the moral slide towards Sodom and Gomorrah. It's impossible to make a nation moral without asking the leadership to submit to the authority of Christ. So as I'm reading Erickson's book, the moral inconsistencies stand out. Throughout the book, there is a call for religious freedom for everyone. Russell Moore with the SBC, the gospel means that the state doesn't have any business with what goes on in people's centers of worship. And Oz Guinness, any other restraint on freedom other than virtue becomes a contradiction of freedom. And the book makes the case that Christians don't want to stop private homosexual behavior. Page 72, Christians are not the ones seeking to eliminate or silence those with whom they disagree. Page 15, but where are the actual examples of attacks on the rights of gays? To earn a living, to own a business, to finish a college degree, to create and maintain organizations defined by their beliefs, or to work as a pharmacist, or a baker, or a photographer. No sexual identity, no amount of degree of even the most transgressive sexual expression makes you unfit for those rights in American society. No right-wing Christian zealot is trying to take them away. No one can point to any real incident in which a person has been denied services because of his or her sexual orientation. Well, on the contrary, I can point to 300 years of American history where if you profess to be a homosexual and you were a school teacher, or you came to school dressed as a transgender, you were either fired or given spiritual psychological counsel. And that was good and right. We used to live in a nation where homosexual behavior was against the law. And in 2003, in Lawrence versus Texas, the Supreme Court ruled that the Texas laws against sodomy were unconstitutional. As predicted with the legalization of homosexuality, we now have gay marriage, gender choosing, transgenders in bathrooms, the promotion of homosexuality in public schools. See, according to Romans chapter 13, the government is called by God to enforce God's moral laws. Government is to be an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. And the only way America can be saved is by going back to God's standards. Enforced in the institution of the home, in the institution of the church, and in the institution of the state. All institutions are to be under God. Now, this call for neutrality and equality and freedom coming from conservative pundits may sound good, but it will do nothing to change the country. The only way to change America and to bring America back to repentance is to take the full biblical position, to stop hiding the true Christian message of Christ's authority over the nations. Erickson quotes a friend of his in Canada who says that he doesn't have any problem with rainbow flags. I don't discriminate against that, nor do I tell them to take them down. But he wants his beliefs in traditional marriage to also be respected. And again, it's this idea throughout the book that a country can allow freedom of morals, and we can all just get along, as long as our freedoms don't affect anyone else. But that view is naive on so many different levels. I've used this illustration before, but remember Isaac Asimov, his iRobot novels that came out in the 1950s? The robots were programmed with three laws. Robots may not injure a human being. A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And third, a robot must protect his own existence, as long as it doesn't conflict with the first and second law. Well, the inventor of these robots eventually came to realize that because these three laws were in logical conflict, it could only result in one thing: rebellion. And the First Amendment of the United States, in that it fails to establish God's moral foundation as the law of the land, and as the basis for determining what freedoms are right and what freedoms are wrong, the First Amendment of the United States can only result in one thing: rebellion. The freedom to sin and the road to Sodom. So this lack of the true Christian message is a deficiency in Erickson's book. And like most conservative books, even from the Christian perspective, it falls short of diagnosing the true problem in America. And therefore, it's not bold enough or wise enough to prescribe the right cure. We're told we need a reinvigorated faith in God, but we're not told what we need to believe or teach to bring about that change. The true Christian understanding of the role of government is not explained. Instead, there is simply a call for freedom of religion and a form of pluralism. And again, too many Christian leaders believe that simply freedom of religion or freedom of speech will solve the problem. But without the leadership in America embracing and confessing God's law, all freedom is a ticket to Sodom. And this book review again reminds us that the Christian is always better off with a complete and working knowledge of Scripture. Otherwise, the Christian will be taken in by false ideology, even Christian ideology that is slightly off base. If you know the Bible, you can judge all books and all things. 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual judges all things. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website to listen to this program or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. I always appreciate emails with questions, comments, insights. That's godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people in this great nation come to some new convictions about your authority. May we finally turn to you for the salvation of our land, rather than turning to the wisdom of men. Help us to finally see that the only solution is for all kings and all who are in authority to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray, amen.